Finding your perfect home was hard, but thanks to Burrow, furnishing it has never been easier. Burrow's easy-to-assemble modular sofas and sectionals are made from premium, durable materials, including stain and scratch-resistant fabrics. So they're not just comfortable and stylish, they're built to last. Plus, every single Burrow order ships free right to your door. Right now, get 15% off your first order at burrow.com/ACAST. That's 15% off at burrow.com/ACAST.
Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom. Like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
Hello and welcome to day 4 of Guitar Nerds Gear of the Year 2015. I'm your host Mark Packham, joined this evening by Matt Knight.
Good evening.
Jay Cross.
Hello.
And Joe Branton.
Hammer time.
And it is,
and it is,
in fact, the evening now. We've literally been doing this all day. So
it's dark now.
Thanks. I can't see the sea anymore.
I know. Do you know what? The weather outside is terrible.
Frightful.
I really hope this podcast
is so delightful.
You can see the sea from Jay's flat, and I've been watching it like be mental and sort of threaten to...
No, you can't see it because it's dark.
Now I'm extra concerned.
We started this at, what, 9 or something this morning? And now it's half four.
Sleeping at 9.
Yeah, okay.
I think we actually kicked off at about 11.
How late was 45? I? 20 minutes
so
late?
We're,
half
we're
an
entering hour
late.
5 of the Gear of the Year podcast. Or, to keep the magic,
yeah, to day keep the
4.
Continuity.
Day 4.
We actually recorded this morning. When are we listening to this? Thursday.
Yeah,
we got up early. We got up really early to record this on Thursday.
Yeah.
Wow. On Thursday,
yeah.
You'll be in Glasgow, won't you?
I'll
be in Edinburgh.
It won't be this Thursday.
Oh, no, it's not, is it? Of course.
Near Christmas.
Oh, yeah, that's right.
So, anyway, day 4, we are covering 2015's best bass product.
Woo!
And the 2015 Guitar Nerds podcast listener choice.
Boom! Boom, boom. That's my sound of a bass.
Good.
Boom, boom.
Let's run down the nominations for best bass product 2015. The Boss BB1X.
It's not been a massive year, has it, this year?
I mean, there's quite a lot. There's more stuff in this
actually,
list than
you
more
know
stuff
what?
Than
there's
I
more
expected.
Than me, yeah.
Yeah. But, so, yeah. Boss BB1X. Dodd Meatbox, the Fender DD Ramone P-Bass, the Squire Deluxe Dimension Bass, the Orange OB-1, the Ampeg SCR-DI, the MXR Bass Distortion, and the Fender Bassman 500.
Wee.
Do you know what's weird about that list?
What?
Literally the first mention of Squire in this our 2015 deliberation.
True. But incidentally, we've actually had the Dimension Bass has been in every single year, because I think in 2013 was the first ever Dimension Bass that we had, which was the part of the Chinese built Fender
Modern Player
series. And then last year we had the introduction of the Fender Deluxe. Or might have been standard Dimension Bass.
There was a few different ones, because there was an American one as well.
Yeah,
wasn't
that's
there?
Right.
Mexican
yeah.
and American.
Yeah. Well, there was the American was introduced as a standard and a deluxe.
Yeah.
The introduction of the Squire.
So let's run down each one, and we can talk about why we think they deserve to be on this list, and then we can start getting into cutting some products from the list. So first up, the Boss BB1X bass driver.
Both me and Jay own one of
you
these.
You do, indeed. So what's so cool about the BB1X?
They're really, really good if you don't want a Sans amp.
Well, that's it, isn't it? I remember that Mark, you and me were in the bass department when Boss first brought a BB1X in, and we got to have a listen to it. And I think the main drawback of this was that it didn't have an XLR input,
out.
But
yeah.
it is balanced.
It's great.
So
you can just go quarter-inch jack out of it,
which is fine. So it does the same thing, but yes, they couldn't fit the XLR into the standard format, which I think for you was you didn't think it compared initially to Sans Amp because
I just
of that
know
limitation.
I know what a sound engineer would want on stage, and they just in terms of how they'd use the stage box and stuff. I think having a balanced jack is kind of less common than obviously just having a row of XLR ins.
Well, I think, you know, it would be down to you to bring a jack to XLR.
An XLR
which,
jack,
which incidentally Boss were, when they first introduced them, I think Boss were doing that as a package.
Okay.
Were they?
Yeah, you got an XLR to jack.
You got a little adapter, I think.
Yeah, so.
Yeah, so. So, okay, so BB1X. So for those who don't know, it's like a DI, but it's also got some
drive.
I use it as a drive pedal. Did you say
I leave it
on?
I use it as a drive. No, leave the Sans Amp on and I use it as a drive pedal.
Yeah,
and you know, it's. I think it's unfair just to say that it's for people who don't want to spend the extra money and get a Sans Amp, because that's not what it is.
No, not. I think it's a very different product.
I don't think it's a very different product, but okay. I think it's selling it kind of short just to call it that. I really like the sound of them together, and I think that it's cool to have. I do think it's cool that there's more options there.
Yeah.
I think that I really, really like it. So much so that I bought one, you know.
Yeah.
So.
Great, yeah, great pedal. Best, I mean, like, of all the drive pedals I own and could potentially own, that's my go-to drive pedal.
That's quite a strong statement.
Yeah, and there are other drive pedals on that board, and I'm still using a Sans Amp VT as a preamp, but the one main drive pedal that I hit on and off the most is the BB1X. So I mean, that's in my opinion the best bass drive pedal
I think
can
it's
get.
Probably a hair more dynamic and a bit more. I think that as like, and it, you know, it's difficult to just A/B something, you know, straight away, but I think that realistically that's what a customer is going to do. They're going to, you know, someone who wants to buy a bass drive pedal or a bass preamp pedal or a bass DI pedal, they're going to look at those two and they're going to. And I think, for me, I think the Sans Amp sounds better just as is. But I think that the Sans Amp is still relatively like, you know that it's a Sans Amp. You always know when someone's using a Sans Amp because it sounds like a Sans Amp.
Yeah.
With the BB1X, I think it's a bit more dynamic, and I think you can get a lot more, you know, a wider variety of sounds out of it, which is why you should have both. But, you know, I really, really like it, but it's...
A great pedal, and I think, you know, like it's its first year, but I think a future classic, and I think we'll see this on loads more boards, considering the sort of price tag of, you know, less than 120
quid. I think the great thing about Boss now is that they're developing things that go in pedals that then end up in future products, not necessarily the same thing, like, you know, things that are in the ESA ended up in the DD500. I think things that are in things like the RV6 are probably going to end up in other products, you know, all that multi-dimensional processing, you know, which is what the BB1X uses. It's going to work its way into a lot of other things.
Completely. Yeah. So the Dodd Meat Box got added to this category in spectacular fashion in last episode. Got ported over. So, the Meat Box, why is it on the list?
Well, exactly as Matt pointed out, doesn't actually sound that great with guitar, which is incidentally the instrument that it was originally released to be played with. The D&D Meat Box was made famous by Juan Alderet, who started using it during his time in the Mars Volta. And it's essentially a sub pedal that just gives you
like an octave down,
a sub pedal, so lower than an octave.
Okay, so two octaves.
Yeah, exactly. And it just gives you all of that sort of massive, all of those frequencies that are going to make the subs on a PA system rattle. And, you know, be way too much for little 10-inch speakers. Some people use, but it's a brilliant pedal. There's not much more to it than that.
I was going to say, like, the thing that I absolutely love about it is that, you know, like, you know, Boss are not doing reissues, like reimagining of certain pedals. Like Dodd have gone, hold on, this pedal that we made in the 90s, that was in an average box that kind of passed people by, is now going for like $350 second hand on the collectible market. It's like one of the most like sought after pedals. Do you know what I mean? You're putting that into like the same bracket as, maybe not the same price as like a Klon or something like that, but some of these pedals are going for ridiculous prices, and they've gone, oh, hold on, why don't we just make the same thing, but we'll add the sub control and the low control on the front, we'll add a couple of, we'll change it around, we'll make it in a more modern housing, take off the plastic we had before. And yeah, I must admit, I was disappointed that it didn't work as well for guitar, but yeah, when we plugged it in for bass, it just sounded really good.
Yeah, it sounds massive, and it's a real essential, I think. Not an obvious sound to go for if you're already playing a bass,
yeah,
but just if you ever, if you just need that lift, or if you just want something to really explode, it's such a great go-to.
I think one of the because I think one of the features on this is you can use a Y cable out of the output to split the signal as well. So I'm going to read. So you can go stereo cable out of the output into two monos, and you can run the dry signal and the sub output into two separate amplifiers.
Oh, that's amazing. That's actually,
I mean,
great.
That, what a cool feature, you know, because not everyone's going to have stereo, but you could run the dry straight out into a BB1X and then straight into the desk.
Another pedal that I absolutely love, and I think it,
I think good on Dodge, you know, to kind of bring themselves back, a company that most people had forgotten about, but did make some great effects.
Is this still Digitech?
It's owned by Digitech now. I don't know if it's Digitech originally, but it's owned by Digitech now.
I could easily end up with those first two as my top two.
I can easily end up with the next product on the list, the Fender DD Ramone P-Bass.
Yeah.
So, released earlier in the year, it's a kind of faithful signature for DD's late 70s, well, mid-70s actually, I think the bass is white P-Bass, maple neck, black pickguard, the most punk bass ever made.
So it's an American special?
No, it's, well, the reissue, I believe, is Mexican made. It's just an old cool P bass that they've bought up to date. I usually don't really
buy
like
a white Mexican P bass though, right?
Yeah, but
I don't think they feel as nice.
No, this has got,
he's not a bass player.
This is properly like nice.
Yeah, I
nice
know,
neck.
It's a proper
70s
style.
Comes with a
DD
Ramone gig bag, a nice 70s logo on the headstock.
Well, that was the weird thing. They didn't bother going for vintage lacquer, even though they made it a 70s. That didn't make any sense to me.
But if you look at a 70s bass, they don't usually have the vintage lacquer. Like, things like the Matt Freeman are a bit of an anomaly because his bass actually doesn't have that kind of yellow tint on the lacquer, his actual bass. So when they say vintage tint lacquer, that doesn't really apply to 70s stuff.
Okay.
So when you see, like, Dee's bass, it still looks really light on the neck.
Hmm.
So I put it on this list because I think it's a really cool thing for Ramones fans. It's not often that, like, punk... I mean, I know that Fender did some...
Fender punk, only do punk signature.
Yeah,
models.
I know, but they're all, like, young bands. They're all young-ish bands.
What? Mark Hoppus, Matt Freeman,
yeah,
Eva,
like,
Gardner.
They're all fair. I mean, compared...
Well,
they're, like, 30 years later. 20 years later.
I mean, you bring up the Matt Freeman. My question to you is this bass £300 better than the Matt Freeman?
That is
probably not.
That's
the best
a good point.
Point. Yeah, we the three of us, not Mark, because he doesn't sort of hang around outside of the podcast. But we were out last night. The rest of us with
the three mates
with awful. A friend of ours, Chris, who
indisposed,
who runs a bass department, and he was saying, and still reckons, and I agree with him, if you're not going to buy an American standard
P-Bass, the Matt Freeman's one to go
then
for.
Buy the Matt Freeman. So that counts out American specials, that counts out Mexican standards, you know, that and sort of everything else in between. The Matt Freeman is an incredible
bass. I mean, I really like the DD Ramone, and I think that it's important that they did it, because
why did this get a Fender?
Because the market, the people that's going to buy it are Fender buyers.
I think
Freeman, the people who like it are like people probably like our age and younger who haven't got that much money to spend. We'll get a Squire and that will do the job for them. The Fender reissues are definitely going for people who were around at the time, so 50 year olds basically.
Fair enough.
And you know, and I think it's important, I also think it's important that the Diddy Ramone came out, because I do think that it is a very, very, not just an iconic punk bass. I think that Diddy Ramone is Diddy Ramone probably, you know, the Ramones are a very, very important part of rock and roll history,
as was Dee Dee's bass playing style, and I think he's one of the first people to sort
absolutely
of usher
and so
in that.
And so I think it's really good that this bass has come about. I think that's really good. Personally, I'm not into like the really thin frets.
That is a bit of a problem, but you know, kind of in line with what the bass actually has.
Absolutely, but for me, you know, and I think it's great, and I really, really like this bass. But the question that you do need to ask is it £300 better than a Matt Freeman? And I don't know the answer. I mean, I've played both. I've played a few of both, and I've really liked all of them. And I think maybe it comes down to the fact that, because we have spent a lot of time around guitars, we're a little less sort of brand conscious. And I know the fact that something says Fender on the headstock rather than Squire makes a big difference to some people.
Sure.
I hesitate to say that because it makes it sound like I'm saying it's a bad thing. I don't think it's a bad thing at all. I'm sort of, and you know, it's very easy for me to say that all my guitars are American. You know, yeah. So you know, that probably speaks louder than anything. But I also I'm not that bothered whether it says Squire on the headstock because I think that the Matt Freeman is brilliant. I understand why people would want to spend the extra money to have the Fender, but I do get it.
What you also need to think just quickly is an American standard, which I guess has got a similar feature set in terms of it's got the gloss fretboard and things like that. Is that £600 to £700 better than this?
Well, that's a great point.
Absolutely, it is.
If
you're
a Ramones fan and you're in your 50s and you've got some money to spend, and you want a Didi style bass, you know, you want the white bass with the black pickguard.
Yep.
This is the best thing that you can get. You know, value for money wise, it's absolutely incredible.
I don't know. I still think the Freeman's better, but that's the thing, isn't it?
Sure, but
if this had come out as a Squire, I'd be saying a very different thing. But I also, to be honest, the other reason that Fender probably didn't do that is because it's so close to a Matt Freeman.
Yeah.
But if this had come out as a Squire, I'd be saying, yeah, it's great, and that sort of cheap style bass is probably right for the Ramones, who are a cheap band.
Yeah.
You know, and sort of making a sort of, you know, glossy, nice looking, non-relict bass just seems a bit weird for them.
You say that, but try and buy a Mosrite.
Yeah. Yeah, well, that's
true. Do you know
true.
What I mean? Try it.
And it is with all classic bands, with all bands that have sort of have left their mark and become legends, all of their gear, which was probably just the cheapest thing they could get at the time,
has now become legendary.
And that's it. So it is great. I agree. And it is important. And you're absolutely right. Fender seem to have this obsession with punk rock bass players and releasing signature models for them, seeing as they drop everyone who isn't a punk player, like Marcus Miller recently. But
I think that was his own
volition.
So.
Yeah, yeah. Well, but yes, it was definitely necessary. Is it the best bass product? No, it's just another one.
Well, let's see. We'll get down to cutting very shortly. First off, let's talk about the Squire, the only Squire on our entire Gear of the Year rundown, the Squire Deluxe Dimension Bass.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
What's the story behind these?
Well, it's they're just Fender and Squire as a brand set are trying to cement the Dimension Bass. So the Dimension Bass has now been introduced into every series as much as the Jazz and the Precision. So it is now the third sort of model to their land, their lines,
which is pretty crazy when you think, you know,
why isn't it the Mustang?
Yeah, I don't know. It's like, you know, Fender is a bass company. You've got P bass, Jazz bass, and then you know, those two. I suppose it's like the Strantelli. Those two came out, and then nothing has really ever matched.
Well, the Jaguar,
there's the Jaguar, and there's the Mustangs, isn't there? This is kind of like the Jazzmaster to the Strat and the Tele and the P and the J.
But we have the Jaguar. I mean, I didn't like the Dimension from the get go sort of thing. I just thought it was maybe the wrong.
It's their attempt at a Music Man, basically, isn't it?
Yeah. Exactly.
Active bladed pickup.
Looking at that market and going, yeah, we should have a piece of that. We should have a pizza that. But the Dimension Bass, I would still, if I wanted that sound, I would still get a Music Man.
Yeah.
I think they're perfectly good. It just do you know, it's nothing about the Dimension Bass as such. I find it quite uninspiring as an instrument, but it's more that if they were going to introduce a model and make it like a standard line to sit alongside the Jazz and the Precision Bass, use the Mustang. Like, the Mustang has got just as much heritage.
Yeah, I agree.
There's not a Mustang being made at the moment. The only one you can get is the Squire Mikey Way.
They can make a really good Squire line of Mustangs in, like...
They used to. Do you remember? They did vint mods, and they did them with maple necks in Sunburst and in black on black. They were incredible.
But they could do, like, all the international colours, like the Capri orange or whatever. It's graffiti yellow.
I really regret not getting one of those vint mod Mustangs when they were out, because they were £250 and I didn't buy one, and now you can't get a Mustang. And Mustangs are brilliant.
I just think the Mustang has been such, like, across guitar and bass, I feel like the Mustang is kind of weirdly overlooked. You know, like you say, if they did Mustangs in graffiti colours, or in even in like Cadillac colours,
yeah,
you know, just do something. It doesn't even have to be that good. People will buy them.
Totally.
People would buy if you could buy a cool looking Mustang for £300, they would sell bucket loads of them.
Yeah.
Because nobody expects a Mustang to be a great guitar. It just needs to be an okay guitar that looks amazing.
Absolutely.
And they'll sell tons of them.
My question about this, the Squire Deluxe Dimension, is what is the difference between this and the modern player?
Oh, right. Well, it's active for a start. Modern player was a first stab. So the pickups, whilst they looked very similar, the pickups are very weird in these, because they're kind of... they sort of go fat in the middle. I don't know the name for the shape.
They're kind of like bladed, aren't they?
Well, not. I'm not talking about the pole pieces. I'm talking about the overall shape. It's not straight.
Yeah, they're like...
It sort of expands in the middle.
Yep.
Which is very strange. But yeah, the original ones weren't bladed. They're not bladed anymore.
Okay.
It's only the modern player that's bladed.
Okay.
After that, they've created these kind of rectangular pole pieces that sit over underneath each string.
Yeah.
But yeah, so this one's active, which seems to be the line that they've gone for with the Dimension. The first ones, the modern players, were passive, mm-hmm. and they didn't have a tone control. They had a volume and then a five-way selector in the form of not a strat-style one, a rotary knob that looks like a tone knob, but it clicks into five different spaces, and it turns on and off different pole pieces and selects parallel and series and gives you different tones via that.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage to the first real life store stage. All the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is there to help you grow. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 36% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Get a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/work. Shopify.com/work.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot. We charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
Finding your perfect home was hard, but thanks to Burrow, furnishing it has never been easier. Burrow's easy-to-assemble modular sofas and sectionals are made from premium, durable materials, including stain and scratch-resistant fabrics. So they're not just comfortable and stylish, they're built to last. Plus, every single Burrow order ships free right to your door. Right now, get 15% off your first order at burrow.com/ACAST. That's 15% off at burrow.com/ACAST.
That was the modern player, and in many ways that was quite an innovative way of doing it. Now they've just fallen back on this active, and you've got control. You've got a bass, treble, boost, and cut. So it's a new thing. It's good that it exists and that there's a deluxe option there. I haven't found them to be very popular. I just don't think people buy Fender for that.
So it may not make the cut. But before we do that, let's talk about the last few things on this list. Jay, you bought an orange OB-1.
No, I didn't.
No, I did.
Joe bought an orange OB-1.
And then Jay borrowed it.
And I borrowed it.
Oh, okay,
but
sure.
Yeah, no, Jay's
so what is the orange OB-1 on this list?
Well, there's two models. Are we just taking the
let's talk about the 300.
Well, Joe,
I think,
bought the 500.
Okay.
And you tried both, didn't you?
And I
tried,
I played
both.
You
took mine, and then on your second show, someone owned the 300. Yeah, actually, a fellow who worked for Orange.
Yes, and I used that. I mean, I really, really love this amp. I absolutely love this amp. It's, for me, without jumping ahead, for me, the best bass product that has come out for the last few years.
Really, really great head. I think it's testament to the fact that a guy from Orange was actually playing that over the AD200.
Yes. Yeah.
You shouldn't say good head on the podcast.
Yeah.
It's going to throw us off our game.
Yeah. The it's brilliant. It's I love the drive sound on it. I think the clean sound's great. It's super usable. It's really light. I mean, it's relatively light.
No, it's not.
It's relatively...
It weighs a ton.
It's relatively...
Compared to an AD200, though.
Compact, yeah. Let's say that. It's, yeah. You know, it's relatively compact.
Fits in a 2U.
And it's
I bought a purple 2U. It was good.
You did, yes.
What?
A purple 2U flight case for it. It looks great.
It's just... I mean, what do you need to say? It's brilliant. It's the best... It's the best solid state bass amp.
That's an alternative. That's, I think, actually, for me as a non-bass player, that's different from, you know, because I have to plug people into basses at work and kind of demo some things, and, you know, not the best guy because I don't play a lot of bass. But, you know, if someone wants something different to, like, I don't know, a Rumble or a TC or, you know,
Mark
whatever,
bass.
Or a Mark bass, whatever. So, like, that has its own unique sound, and I think that's more, I think, in a way, more difficult for bass. I think guitarists have a much broader choice of so many different amps and digital modelling, and companies who make bass equipment stay away from that. So to kind of make something you can plug into and it's got a really alternative sound.
Well, crucially, it's a two-channel bass amp.
Yeah,
which
can,
doesn't
you
exist.
You can still, like, blend between those ones. Can you?
Yeah. You can blend the channel and turn it on and off with a foot switch. Honestly, when I got one, it came with a foot switch. I don't think it actually does come with a foot switch, but I think
you can.
Orange were nice enough to send me a foot switch with it. And I was like, I have no idea what to do with this. I mean, I've never had a foot switch for an amp before. And I don't actually use it. I think it's still in my garage.
In the bag.
Oh, the lockup for my band's gear.
Oh, okay. Where's that?
Yeah, just tell us exactly where that is, that big weight.
Yeah, but I don't use it. I don't actually like the drive on it. It's too brittle for me. There's not enough low end in the drive. But what I really like about the OB-1 is just how much attack there is in the sound compared to a valve amp. And I always thought I would favour valve for bass, because I guess, you know, we're sort of told to. But then I'd never heard a good solid state.
Completely.
They're all Class D and they all sound...
They're not all Class D, mate.
So many
Mark
of them
one.
Are. Oh, God.
So
but, so many of them are Class D, and they do all just sound a little bit... just a little bit tight, a little bit restricted.
Yeah.
And so this just has so much attack and so... just a really, really punchy bass head. And, you know, the 300, how much is the 300? What, like 320 quid, something like that?
Oh, they're not very much money.
No,
it's
money
for...
It's
ridiculous
for a professional bass amp.
Genuinely one of the bass... And we're not saying this because it's 300 quid. It genuinely is one of the best sounding bass heads you can get at the moment.
Yeah.
Period. And it's less than 400 quid. That's mental.
Yeah.
So, yes, you know, this could well win.
Tell me about the Ampeg SCR-DI. This is Ampeg's attempt at a kind of Sansamp style DI box.
Yeah, that's right. So it's the first time that I guess Ampeg have attempted a pedal in a long time. It's absolutely massive. Like it's the size of most people's pedal boards.
Okay,
but
really?
Yeah.
It's funny because I'm looking at the photos and I'm like, oh, it sort of looks like a... I don't know, the kind of way they framed it almost looks like one of those double, like, Sansamp pedals.
Yeah, it's a bit like that, but bigger, deeper, taller.
How many inputs and outputs has it got?
I'm not sure, but it's got the SCR because it's got the scrambler.
Oh, the scrambler fuzz circuit, I guess. It's kind of a distortion fuzz,
which is like one of the most sought after, rarest pedals on the kind of boutique second hand market.
Yeah, where did the scrambler, what were the origins of?
It was an Ampeg kind of fuzz overdrive
made really
circuit.
Really rare, made not many made. like super, super rare.
Yeah.
So this is an alternative that it's great. I mean, really good. Takes up too much room. And yes, you're right. It's another competitor to the Sans Amp, to the
BB1X.
Yeah, exactly. And I don't know, man. It's they haven't thought about it as much as the Sans Amp and the Boss have been thought about, just because of its size. And I think, unfortunately, as with all things Ampeg these days, I'm not their biggest fan anymore. I like their older stuff, but it felt a little bit flimsy. Like,
okay.
Build quality, the controls and everything are a little bit... I would expect most of those knobs to get smashed off after a few shows.
I think before we go too far down that route, tell me about the Fender Bassman 500. This was added last minute to the list because I didn't realise this came out this year. Because obviously,
that's right.
The Fender Super Bassman has been a product for the last, what, 3 years?
Well, yeah, probably 3 years. We had the Super Bassman, which is the 300 watt all valve Ampeg killer.
Yes.
Which is,
incredible.
I guess. Yeah, it's incredible. It is. Without a doubt, the best like valve amp you can get for bass, the Super Bassman, and they released the Bassman as well, which wasn't the guitar one. It was 100 watt, but it was very much a bass amp.
Yes,
which was also great, but that's still £1,000, and so there. And then they had the Rumbles, which are very much an entry level.
Sounds like something you don't want to catch.
Yeah.
Oh, God. Awful case of the Rumbles.
But the Rumbles are, you know, sort of, I guess, a more... the Rumble Amplifier series by Fender were a more entry-level thing. So there was nothing in the middle. There was nothing that was catching on to the fact that people were buying Tiny Terrors and now Obi-Wans. The people who are buying... Mark Bass, and you know those sort of like those sort of £500,
those great guys,
£700 amplifier heads. So this was their answer to that. So it's in the same chassis as the Bassman 100,
okay.
But it's just valve preamp, and it's sadly Class D,
okay.
In the power stage, which when I saw it, I was like, oh yeah, it looks brilliant, I bet it sounds great. And then I picked it up and I was like, oh no, it reminds me of the SVT 450s that were a head that Ampeg made that were completely like Class D and no valves in them. And you're looking at me funny like it wasn't Class D, the SVT 450.
The ones in the big box?
Yeah.
They're not Class D.
Oh, no, they're not?
Solid state.
All right, they're solid state. They still sound crap. But they're...
they sound really good. I like those.
Awful. Like, literally, when I get one in the practice room, I have to turn the bass control on full just to get it to sound like a low-end instrument. It's awful. But anyway...
I really like those.
It just always struck me as being
That's
ridiculous.
Weird.
I used to own one.
Read that into...
No, I used to own
into
one.
Trebly bass.
Yeah, I love trebly bass.
But
but
the problem with those is I just felt they were a bit of a con. Not a con from me buying them, but a con to other people. Like, you know, those Ampeg things, they were in the SVT chassis and they didn't need to be. Like, they probably took up a quarter of the space in that chassis. And I kind of felt a bit that way about the Bassman 500. Like, it's really light, yet you've put it in a massive, like, valve head. And it's for people who want a valve head but have only got 700 quid to spend. Okay. So
have you talked yourself out of the...
No, I think it sounds great, and it does sound great, even for a Class D. I think it's a brilliant amp head, and I think everything Fender have done in that range is great.
Yeah.
And it was so necessary to have a head in that was affordable. I just think if you were going to head-to-head a £700 Fender Bassman 500 against a £350...
No-brainer.
Obi-Wan 300. Yeah, Orange just smashed it.
Well, that to me sounds like it's time to start... shaving down this list.
God, I've done a lot of talking.
Cutting
podcast.
It down. Yeah, well, this is all your stuff, isn't
it?
Yeah,
I know.
So, the list so far, just a quick recap, is that the Boss BB1X bass driver, the DOD Meat Box, the Fender DD Ramon P bass, the Squire Deluxe Dimension bass, the Orange Obi-Wan, Obi-Wan 300 we decided on, right?
Yeah.
The Ampeg SCRDI, the MXR bass distortion.
Oh, we didn't talk about that.
We didn't talk about that. It's a good bass distortion pedal, right?
I'd say the fact that we missed it probably means we need to cut it.
It's just a drive.
And the Fender Bassman 500. So we're saying, what, bass distortion gone?
Yeah, just cut that straight off the
Okay,
bat.
So Bassman didn't even 500. We need to lose, to lose two more.
Is that what we're doing? Are we going to go around the room cutting?
If it, you know, for me, not being a bass player, if I was like one of those products that, you know, I was going to buy something, if I was looking at a list and I was like, oh, I need to buy something and, you know, or, you know, something I wouldn't take, it'd probably be the Ampeg.
Yep.
Yeah. I don't want to smash my knob off.
No. You set that up just so you could say smash my knob off.
I tried to get it earlier, but it didn't work.
Oh, great.
That's why I got smashed off. Are we going, are we cutting the Ampeg SCRDI?
Yeah. Take us? Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, I agree with that.
So we've got one more left to lose on that list. BB1X, Meatbox, DD Ramone P-Bass, Squire Deluxe Dimension, Orange Obi-Wan, Basement 500, J-Cross, what would you cut?
For me, it's between the Squire and the Fender, the Squire and the Fender amp. I'd say I'd get rid of the Squire.
Yep.
Because I think I would have more use from the Basement than I would the Squire. I'm not really into the Dimension. I know that they're really trying with it. The thing that irks me with it is like you say, Fender are really pushing this. They really want this to be the third bass. They really want this to be the also-ran, but it's like you've already got the third bass. You've got this Mustang, and like people are desperate for Mustang basses.
It's just too similar to jazz basses and P basses.
Yeah, I mean they've already got a ready-made they've already got a ready-made competitor for the Stingray. It's the P bass.
Yeah.
You know, it's...
It doesn't sound like a Stingray, but it's as good as a Stingray.
Yeah, but people who play one tend to play the other, don't they?
Yeah.
That sort of thing. I think that people jump between.
Yeah.
So for me, it would be. I think the Squire needs to be cut from the list.
Are we in agreement that the Dimension Bass needs to go?
I do not like Dimension Basses. Let's cut them.
Okay. So in that case, we've got the BB1X, the Meatbox, the Fender DD Ramone P Bass, the Fender Basement 500, and the Orange Obi-Wan 300. What goes in fifth place? I suspect the Basement 500.
I would call the DD Ramone.
Yeah, that's what I would have said. I mean, I think you raised a good point earlier. Like, for me, not being a bass player, if I had to buy two basses or one bass out of those two, even if I had the money for the DD Ramone, I think I would prefer going for something like the Matt Freeman.
Okay. I'm definitely not happy about this, but I will concede that it's not for everyone. It is very much for Ramones fans who want to get DD's bass and they don't want to get an American standard and put a black plate on it.
Yeah.
I think that's the... Okay, so in fifth place, the Fender DD Ramone P bass. Where are we going next for fourth place? I mean, is it the Fender Basement 500? Is that what we're saying?
Well, out of the things that are left, it's the only one that I've had a negative word to say about, I guess.
I mean, I think if this had been a different year and the Obi-Wan hadn't come out this year, we would be saying that this is... I mean, obviously we would because it's the only other one left, but we'd be saying far and away this is the best amp that came out this year.
Definitely, absolutely. This is not a naysay on the...
No, not at all. I think this is very tough. I would probably put this next. Would I put the Meatbox? Maybe I'd put the Meatbox next, but I know that's going to get completely...
Yeah, I think the thing is...
I mean,
that
no one in this room is a fan of pedals, are they?
I mean, the thing is, I think, you know, it's almost a scary thought to think that two pedals might be two of the three best bass products this year. But, you know, I think it's... People are coming around to making more bass-specific pedals.
Completely, yeah. I've actually noticed that this year. Like, going back through what's been launched, there's way more bass pedals than three years ago.
I don't think we should ever underestimate Juan Alderete's impact on...
Yeah,
what
people are buying, what people are making.
Yeah, exactly. He has so much impact in Earthquaker. He's had a lot of impact in DOD. There are other brands, I'm sure, that are going to release things next year, possibly, maybe, who he'll be associated with as well.
Yeah, there's definitely...
just a nice fella.
It's just a very smart
But pedals
fella.
In effect is a big thing.
That yeah, website, yeah, yeah.
And that has changed a lot of bass players' thoughts as to how the instrument can be used.
So, Basement 500 in the fourth place position.
Yeah. Yeah.
Then we're down to Obi-Wan, BB1X and the Dodd Meatbox.
Should we go around the room? Do top threes?
I'll start because I feel that the consensus should be Dodd Meatbox in third, BB1X in second, and the Obi-Wan 300 in first.
That was going to be mine.
That's also going to be mine.
That's very compelling. I would be inclined to...
Put the Meatbox in second.
I would put the Meatbox above the BB1X. I just think it's more interesting.
I understand... I definitely understand the argument for putting it...
The problem...
Because it is... Whilst I spent, you know, ages saying I mean, well, it is, though. It is just a Sans Am.
Well, that's it. And the Sans Am's existed for years.
Yeah.
Can we realistically say this is the second best thing that's happened this year?
But the thing is, the Sans
Am, when you can buy, and I'm not, I don't think it's better or worse. I think it's slightly different, but very much the same product. But one of them has an XLR out. So
But the Sans Am is analog, right? The BB1X is digital because it
NDP.
Uses because it uses the multi-dimensional processing. So it's doing something very different inside to what the Sans Am does.
Bear in mind, we're not comparing this to the Sans Am for this poll. Yeah. It didn't come out this year. So what I would say is, for a bass player, I think the BB1X, for pretty much every bass player, I could recommend the BB1X. Yeah. I couldn't recommend the Meatbox to every bass player.
Would be that would have to be an avant-garde player for the. I just love the. I'm so glad that it's back out, and I'm so glad that I can afford one now.
Yeah.
Yes.
but that's fine. I respect that. The BB1X is definitely something that every single bass player should buy. And how many times does like a product come out that every single person of an instrument should buy? But that is literally, there is not a bass player out there that wouldn't
benefit from,
this. Yeah, and likewise, the Obi-Wan is an absolute game changer for amplifiers.
From the moment that came up in this category, that was going to be number one, I think. It was just such a good product.
Yeah.
So we're saying that at number five, we've got the Fender DD Ramone P-Bass. Number four, the Fender Bassman 500. Number three, we've got the Dodd Meatbox. Number two, the Boss BB1X. And the winner of Best Bass Product this year is the Orange Obi-Wan 300.
Yeah, I think that's
pretty solid list.
So we'd normally take a break here before we dive into the next category, but actually there's no deliberations to make on this. This is the listener choice. This was a poll on our Facebook group, facebook.com/groups/guitar nerds forum, where we asked listeners to recommend or nominate a product and then vote on which should win. The results are as such. In third place, the Boss DD500. In second place, the Boss ES8, which means it's got two entries into the Gear of the Year final. And in first place, the Orange Micro Dark. Interestingly, we placed it at fifth in our best amp.
So basically, you're wrong.
Listeners have voted it number one. So it will be appearing in the final.
And I think that's good because, you know, we've spent a lot of our lives working in music retail. And so, you know, you have your biases over these things. You know, the people who voted in this are people who generally haven't worked in retail and are just players, and it's people who are buying these things.
Yeah,
and exactly. I think it's great. I think it's great that the Orange Micro Dark's in there because it's, you know, we've sort of, I guess we've come at it irrespective of
whether or not we'd buy it.
Not so much that, irrespective of us saying like, right, well, we're not going to be biased on price and this, that and the other, and comparing, you know, it's, if we were to compare this and the Classic 20, for the PV Classic 20, it's like, well, I mean, obviously the Classic 20 is a better amp.
Yeah.
But
is it better for every situation?
Is it better for every situation, and is it better for pound, is it better? You know, and like the Micro Dark is accessible to everyone at every price, and I think it's good. I'm really glad it's in there.
So we're actually seeing Orange get represented twice in the run up. Boss have got
three or four times.
Boss have got every Boss have actually got every product they've released this year.
Yeah, well, it's been a very good year for them.
Not the SY.
Indeed. Yeah. And not the they did some extra stuff with the Blues Cube this year that hasn't made it in, and things like that. So, okay, well, we've got our final 16 or 15. It'll be 15 because there's only ES8 is in there twice. So,
Wow, 15 things.
Indeed.
How are we going to...
Is there another episode?
There is. Still? We're doing the final. So
Joe, that's it.
There's 15 winners.
That's every category, though.
I think last year we had 8. But what we'll do is we'll go through, again, we'll do an initial cut. We'll trim the list down.
Just trim it straight down to 8 and then go from
and
there.
And then go from there.
Knuckle dusters.
The final 15 are Gibson 2016 Les Paul Traditional, the Boss ES8, the Roland JC40, the Black Starfly 3, the Boss DD500, the Ranger FX, Echo X and Igor, the Orange OB1300, the Orange Micro Dark, the Line 6 Variax Standard, the TC Polytune Clip, the PV Classic 20 Mini, the Strymon Deco, the Montreal Assembly Counter 5, Digitech Trio and the Boss BB1X.
My God, that is a great. All of that equipment, every single thing there is absolutely brilliant.
We will see you tomorrow when we'll be running down this list, and it's going to...
This is the best one.
It's going to get dirty. It's going to get filthy.
Yeah, these knobs are going to get smashed off.
See you tomorrow.
Bye.
Hey everyone, Craig Robinson here. I want you to check out the Ways to Win podcast, brought to you by Ford and the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. On Ways to Win, Coach Cal and I will discuss leadership lessons we've learned. We know all about the days spent perfecting your craft outside of the limelight and have knowledge to share about how strength, inspiration, encouragement, and adaptability are the key ingredients to drive toward your dreams. And those same ingredients can be found in the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. So check out my podcast, Ways to Win, and also check out the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. Learn more at Ford.com. Built Ford tough, built Ford proud.